2 Kings, chapter number 5. We'll begin reading verse number 1. This is the story of Naaman that had to go dip in the muddy River Jordan. Can somebody tell me why he had to go dip in the muddy river? Because he had leprosy. And that's what God used the prophet Elisha to tell him to do. In 2 Kings chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of King Assyria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because of him the Lord hath given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy." Man, what a blessing. You're talking about love and compassion. A slave girl, someone who'd been taken captive, having compassion on her master and wanting to tell him about the Lord. About what God could do for him, even in a situation like that. What a great testimony that is. So we have this this man who was a leper, this man who was great, he was honorable, he was a mighty man of valor, he was a leader of an army, and he had already the Lord used him. The Bible says God gave them deliverance, even the Syrian army. If you know the Syrian army, they wasn't a Christian. They wasn't. They was most of the time the enemies of God's people, Israel. In this case, God used them and God allowed them to have victory over Israel and took captive these Israelites. And here, this little maid was a servant. All right, and verse number 3. And she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that was in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." So they're sending a letter to the king of Israel, and then Naaman's on his way there, and like the king of Israel is supposed to deliver Naaman from his leprosy. And so here's what happens in verse number 7. And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man do send unto me to recover a man from his leprosy? Whereof, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." He said he's trying to start a fight against me. I can't do that. And in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Amen. Thank God there is and still is. I got right down there beside my scripture, and I'm not trying to be pious or proud, but I got down there and I said, "God, I want Izzard County to know that there's a prophet, a preacher in Izzard County." I mean, I don't know when I wrote that, didn't put a date on there, but God help us, amen. verse number 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. He was upset. And went away. He went away upset. And said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Let me just say, God don't always do it like you think he's going to do it. Amen. That's right. God wants to reveal himself through situations and circumstances beyond our imagination. And he chooses to use a muddy river Jordan to cleanse this mighty man of valor from his leprosy. Well, in verse number 12, it says, are not Abana and see, Farfar, I'm not sure how you pronounce that. I should have read that. Sorry about that. Rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He's like, there's other waters a whole lot more cleaner, clearer than the muddy river Jordan. Why couldn't I wash in them? He's still angry and mad about Elisha didn't even come out and greet him. He kind of thought that he would probably, being the mighty man of valor and honor that he was. Well, Elisha didn't want to take glory and didn't want to get glory from something that God wanted to do. So here in verse number 13, here's a mediator, here's an intercessor, a servant, just another servant interceding for someone else. Amen? It's important that we have compassion and help somebody. Sometimes we need to open our mouth and testify. Sometimes we don't, right? But sometimes God will use you. And let me just say this. Don't be embarrassed or don't be intimidated if God uses you just because you're age and you're going to talk to someone older than you. Amen? If God opens your eyes and gives you a word of encouragement for an older person, give it to them. Amen? And they need it. Amen? Don't be intimidated. Give it to them. And I always felt intimidated. I didn't say nothing. And sometimes I wished I would have. But then I'm glad when some of these kids will say something to me. And I want to listen to them. I want to listen to them. All right, and it says, and his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? He said, all he asked you, all he said with you was simple, just a simple phrase, just wash and be clean. That's all he said. He said, if he asked you to do something hard, you'd have done it. All right, it says in verse 14, then went he down. Thank God he stopped him and he started making sense. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Think about this, when God makes you clean, he'll keep you clean. You'll be clean and clean indeed, amen? If God does it all, you'll stay that way. God cleans a leper, and the leper stays clean. Well, I want to stop just a minute. I'll stop at verse 15 and make a few comments later on down there. But I just want to talk about going down again and again. First of all, number one, you have a miserable man, a mighty man of valor, Naaman by name. He was an honorable man. He was rich, had all kinds of power, all kinds of fortune. All kinds of things going for him. Probably had a nice house, a nice chariot. Amen. The highest paid trained servants and all kinds of soldiers with him everywhere he went. And probably had him a nice horse. I'm talking about a horse. I'm talking about a Cadillac. Amen. It may not have been a Lincoln Continental, but it was better than that. It may have been, Pontiac, you know. A lot of people couldn't afford a Cadillac, so they just buy a Pontiac, right? But anyway, poor Pontiacs, right? All right, so he was a mighty man, He's a miserable man. And that just goes to tell you, you can have all the money, you can have the fortune, the fame, the power, the might, prestige, but you can still be miserable and have it all, because that's what he was. He was miserable, and though he had it all, there was something that he was miserable over, and that was his leprosy. And this passage of Scripture is one of the greatest Old Testament examples of New Testament salvation. Amen? We were miserable in our sin. Amen? The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. He had it all. He was considered rich, but he was miserable. The poor man died. His name was Lazarus. Rich man didn't have a name, but Lazarus had a name, and it was written down in heaven. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I got a name written down in heaven, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. Amen? Yes, thank God for that. A miserable man can be healed. And then you had a ministering maid in verses 2 through 4. A ministering maid, someone that knew what God could do, that not only heard, but knew. I mean, she was confident that if her master could go to Israel and meet the man of God, that God would use the man of God. She had witnessed what God had done before, and she was full of faith that God could do it again, even for a miserable man, Naaman, and even though he was not part of the Lord's army. Right. A ministering maid. You'll never know who God wants you to minister to. Amen? All you have to do is have a minister attitude, a minister heart. Amen? A compassionate heart for people that are walking. Amen? If they ain't walking, they may be in a wheelchair, but you know what I'm saying. Just people in general. Who should we minister to? Trees and dogs and cats? No, we probably talk to dogs and cats more than we do to people. And God help us to remember that we are to minister to people. You say, what do we do? We tell them about God. Amen. We tell them about what God could do for them. We tell them about what God did for us and what God could do for them. That there is hope. Amen. And so you have this ministering maid. Then you had a measurement of a possible miracle. In verse number 5, you have the king of Syria sending Naaman to the king of Israel. And so he thought he could measure a miracle. Let me tell you tonight, you cannot measure a miracle. You can't measure a miracle. You can't buy a miracle. That's what I'm talking about as far as measuring. He sent gold and silver and all these treasures and he sent him away with all these gifts. Amen? And he thought he could buy his cleansing and buy his healing and buy his miracle. But you can't buy a miracle. God gave miracle without price and without purchase. Amen? He's the gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. The gift of God is eternal life. You can't buy eternal life. You can't buy an answered prayer. You can't buy when God answers your prayer to save somebody that you're praying for. You can't buy healing. You can't buy cleansing. You cannot buy forgiveness. It's already been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Here you have a measurement of a possible miracle. And as long as you're trying to measure a miracle, your miracle may not be possible. Amen. God wants the glory. God don't want anything for something that he's doing for you. All he asks is your love. That's all he asks for. If he wants you to do something, then do it. Amen. But if God don't ask for something back and ask for something in return, but love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, my soul, and thy mind. Amen. Amen. So you can't measure a miracle. But then you had a man of God that met. He was a mediator. This man of God was someone that desired to honor God, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one that represented God in this country. In the Old Testament times, the man of God was. And so he represented what God could do. And in verse number 8, it says, "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel was in his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, that he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Thank God that there is a prophet in Israel. God's man and God's touch was upon God's people. God will always and has always used a man to minister to a people. It don't matter if it was Africa, Philippines, Korea, America, Izzard County, White County, or Black County. I mean, God sends men to minister to people. Amen. So thank God for the man of God in the place that God had called him to be. That is very important. You don't want to be out of place. You don't want to be in the wrong place. Amen. If God's called you somewhere, amen, don't worry about your 401k and everything else. Just go. Amen. Go. God will take care of you because somebody needs a man of God. And let me tell you, today still somebody needs a man of God. You ain't got to be called to preach or ordained or have a bachelor's degree or master's degree to be a man of God. All you can be a man and a woman of God, and you can minister to somebody that needs God in the midst of a troubled situation. A man of God. This world needs old-time men of God, women of God. What I'm talking about old-time, I'm not talking about old people. I'm talking about people that still believe in God. When I talk about the old time way, I'm talking about that we believe in the God of the past, present, and future. When I talk about old time religion, I'm not talking about an old book and an old song and an old church house and an old pews. I'm talking about a God that is ancient of days, the beginning and the end. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When I say old time religion, I'm not relating, to something that happened 100 years ago. I'm relating to the God of yesterday and the God that was behind yesterday and the God that was behind 2,000 years ago when He created this earth and when He delivered Moses and delivered Noah and delivered Elijah and delivered Daniel and delivered David and delivered me. I'm talking about that God that can still do the things that He has always done if somebody would give Him a chance and be a man of God. Amen. We need to be a people of God, all right? And so number five, you have a messenger, this mediating messenger that helped talk Naaman into doing the right thing. Amen? Doing what God, the man of God, had told him to do. And let me just say, people don't know what to think about a man of God much anymore. They don't. And people used to respect preachers and missionaries and evangelists and Christians. Christians used to be respected because they lived right. Amen. And I'm encouraging you, if you want to be respected, respect has to be earned. You can't just expect people to respect you. And even though someone ought to, but walk the walk. Amen. Amen. Do the best you can. If you fall, get back up. That's what this is all about, going down again. All right? And so here you have a messenger in verse 9 and 10, and then you have the miracle moment. The moment of the miracle. The moment of the miracle. Thank God for the moment of the miracle. Amen? And then where he went down and came back up clean in verse number 13. He came, verse number 14, he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The miracle moment. Thank God for that miracle moment that we got clean. Amen. Y'all remember when you got clean? You remember when God cleaned you up? Amen. And it didn't even hurt. Amen. My mama used to get us, and we used to go take a bath, and we'd come out there kind of like, just run in and run out, put about that much water in there, splash up and down on it. We had an old cast iron bathtub that you could take your Hot Wheels up and back them all the way up in that water. You had to put about a quarter inch or half inch of water. That's how much water we use. You can get the Hot Wheels up. Beep, 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 beep. No, we didn't have beepers on anything back then. We'd back them all the way up on that high back cast iron. Man, we'd stay in there, I think, for hours. I don't know. Had water all over the floor and everything. We were supposed to be taking a bath. And Mom would come in there, and she'd run water and scrub us down. And, man, she'd scrub you like it hurt. Scrub the dead skin off you. Get this dead skin off of you. My Lord, I'm talking about you look pink when you got out of that bathroom. Amen. Then that stuff hurts. That hurts. Amen. Hey, but when God washed you, it didn't hurt, it helped you. Amen. Hey, it didn't hurt you a bit. It washed all your sins away. Took every sin, past, present, future that you ever did. Took every lie you ever stole. Everything you ever told wrong. Every false truth, amen. Everything that you've done. And God washed it all away. Amen. And He still will today. I'm talking about when God makes you clean, you're clean indeed. Amen. It's a miracle moment when a person gets clean. Miracle moment. It's your miracle moment. You say, you ever saw a miracle? Yes, I saw a miracle when God saved my sorry hide. Amen. Hey, I've seen miracle moments when I've got down with sin on my life and my mind and my heart. I've said things and done things I shouldn't have done or neglected and all that stuff. Maybe it's the sin of prayerlessness or the lack of study, and get down and pray and cry and ask God to forgive me. And I get up from that thing, hey, with tears running down my eyes and slobber out of my nose, and I stand up and I'm a free man. I feel like I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Guess what I did? I was. Amen. I have been. Ain't that a blessing? And it didn't hurt. It just helps, amen. The miracle moment is amazing. Thank God for miracles, the moments of miracles in our life where God cleanses us. Well, the thing is with Naaman, he had a problem with this old muddy Jordan River. Naaman didn't want to go down. He didn't want to go down to the old Jordan River. He wanted to go down to a cleansing. He wanted a soft road. He wanted the clean water. But God picked a muddy spot, a muddy Jordan, a muddy bank. God said, go down into the muddy River Jordan. Go down to the muddy River Jordan. He had to go down seven times. It was His instructions. Go down seven times. This is where men struggle with God's plan. When God said, go down seven times, why couldn't I just go down one time? Why couldn't the man of God just walk out and slap His hand on my head and cleanse me from my leprosy? Why does God want me to go to a muddy Jordan River and dip? Why do I have to dip seven different times? Why can't I just do it three times? One for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or something like that. Well, he had a struggle. He struggled with God's plan. God wanted him to go down. Don't you know that Naaman was already down? He was already down on his luck. He had leprosy. Why? How could you get down farther than leprosy? How could you get down farther than a disease that would infect everybody around you? How could you get lower than that? How could you get lower than having a disease where Israel, you couldn't live in your own family. You couldn't even be in the city. You had to live outside the gate, and you had to holler. If you came inside for food, you had to say unclean, unclean, unclean everywhere you went so people would know that you had leprosy. Amen. How could you get farther down than that? Well, you can. Amen, you can. You can get farther down, but friend, when God tells you to go down, He's fixing to bring you back up. Yeah, amen, yes He will. Amen. Seven times He had to go down. Seven times, six times He went down and came back up and never changed. Never, nothing ever changed. He still had the same old spots, still had the same old scars, still had the same old leprosy, still had the same old sin. Somebody go to church. But when he went down the last time, and when he completed and obeyed the task, I'm jumping along in my message, but I can't wait to tell you that when he went down the seventh time and completed what God has did, hey, the cleansing was in his completion. Amen. The completion of his journey, his task that God had sent him out to do, was in it. It was in dipping, and the completion of obedience, and his cleansing was in the completion. Your cleansing won't be in your completion until you're complete neither. So keep going down. Keep going down. Go down again. If God's letting you go down, you know God's got a hold of you. You know God ain't letting you go. You know He's hanging on to you. You ain't hanging on to Him. He's hanging on to you. Go down, amen. God's never going to let you down farther than He can't reach down and pick you back up, I'm telling you tonight. Go down in the glory of God. He went down physically, and this was obviously something that was physical. It seemed to be physical. The first thing he did, he went down the first time physically. He had to physically go down. It was obvious to everybody around him. Everybody saw him go down physically. and he went down. He couldn't help it but to go down. It was the only thing he could do. All he could do was go down. All he could do was try to do what the man of God said. All he could do was answer and immediately do what God asked him to do. Even though he struggled with God's plan, he accepted the plan of God and went down. He went down physically. He went down emotionally. Emotionally, he went down. If you ever went down emotionally, friend, I think sometimes here lately I'm going out emotionally. Amen. I mean, I'm going down emotionally until I get back up, and the next day I get to take an old man's nap. Amen. I feel pretty good. Amen. And sometimes emotionally, I mean, we're pulled to the left and pulled to the right and don't know what to do, and we're emotionally stressed and emotionally strained. And my friend, what I'm trying to tell you, if you feel like you're going down emotionally, don't, I want you to know God's letting you go down. Emotionally, don't just throw in a towel. Get down. Get down. Go down, go down, go down. I thought about prayer. You can't, I mean, hey, we can pray standing up. You can pray driving a car. You can pray flying an airplane. But there's something special to me when I go down on my knees and get a hold of God. I go down like a lamb, and I can come up like a lion because God allows me to go down. And prayer is an emotional attachment, physical, a spiritual attachment to a holy God. You need strength. You need power. Go down emotionally. Go ahead and let yourself get down in prayer. Don't go down on your husband. Don't go down on your wife. Don't go down on your job, your boss. Don't go down on your kids. You know what I'm saying? Don't go crazy on everybody. Hold on just a minute and find you a corner somewhere and go down in prayer, and you can stand back up again. Praise is on spitting all over the place up here. Emotionally, go down in apathy. You say, what's apathy? You see, sometimes we go down so many times over and over again, it seems like we're just going down again. It's not an emotional attachment. It's not even physically. It's something that you're going down, and it's the third time you've been down, and you're familiar with the place of being down, and you're just cold and indifferent about it. You know, people come to church and they fall in apathy, and apathy is the next step to apostasy. Don't never grow cold and indifferent on God. Hey, you ought to stay excited about the things of God all the time. God, hey, you're not going to hell, are you? Amen. If that was the only thing God ever did for you, you ought to be jumping and praising His name on a daily basis that God saved your soul from a devil's hell. Amen. Don't go down in that. Go down in apathy, but just go down. Fourth, he went down and compliantly. By the time, the fourth time he went down, I believe there was physically gone down, and mostly he went down in apathy, but then he started complying to going down. He yielded to the struggle. He yielded to the downward motion. He probably buckled his knees before he tripped or fell. He just went ahead and went down. Without being pushed down, y'all with me? Without something taking place, he just complied to the direction and the struggle that seemed to be upon him at the time. He went down. Number five, he went down faithfully. It's five times he already went down. He's got two more to go. He went down faithfully. Faithfully. Why can't you go down? Why can't we go down? Why not? Why can't we just go down faithfully? We know He picked us up the first time. You see, you can't go down again unless He got you back, unless you got back up. Amen. You can't go down unless you're up. Amen? Some of us has been down and down and down and down, but look at you, you're up. You say, well, I'm scared. I'm afraid to move. Papa's afraid to take a brace off. He can't take a bath. He don't want to take a brace off. I mean, he's fixing to go down if he takes that brace off. Scared. Hey, but sometimes we got to comply to the direction that seems to be upon us. Just go ahead and go down. comply to it. Go down faithfully. Just go down. Why can't we just go down with our faithful? Amen. Well, it looks like something's happening. This is going on. This is happening to me. I'm just going to go down. Praise God. Amen. Go down. Things ain't working out. It don't help to murmur and complain about them. It don't hurt to gossip to your neighbors. It don't hurt to cuss or holler and get angry. It don't help. It don't help to get angry. He could have left. He could have left in his anger, went back to Syria and lived the rest of his life as a leper. Oh, but he didn't. He didn't. He had a change of mind, had a change of heart. He repented of the direction that he was going and decided to go down to Jordan. And he went down the fifth time and it was faithful. He was faithfully going down. He said, he's already, hey, we already gone down enough time. Let's just go down again. So what? You've been there before. It ought to be a familiar place. Well, there's my prayer spot. Quit forcing yourself against the struggle. Don't force yourself to stand up against God's motion and direction of you going down. Number six, he went down obediently. He had to go down the seventh time, so he had to yield to the many times, however many times that God said to go down, he had to yield to it. He just had to yield. He had to do it obediently, whether he agreed with it or not. He said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, five wasn't good enough, four wasn't good enough, three wasn't good enough. Six ain't, I don't know, six, you told me seven, I'm going down, I'm going all the way. So he went down obediently. Then he went down completely. Completely was a seventh time, the number of completion. He did not get his cleansing until he completed what God wanted him to do. He completed going down. And you may go down in your youth and have some situations, some problems going down in your youth, and you may get back up and God say, well, that's good for a while. And you may turn 30 or 40 years old, and all of a sudden something hits you and brings you down. And you stand back up, and it brings you down again. And it stands back up, and it brings you down again. Paul prayed three times that God would remove his thorn in his flesh because it got him down. He was emotionally attached to it, physically interrupted by it, and he had all these problems that with this thorn in the flesh, and it's so severe to him, he thought God should remove it. But God said, my grace is sufficient. Just go down. What God said to do. Well, God said to do. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt you. God will lift you up. Notice you can't go down until you come back up. Amen. The only difference between all the six times and the seventh time is because he completed his downward motion. He complied to the seventh time and didn't stop till God he was done. Didn't stop till he fulfilled what God wanted him to do. The Bible says the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. The only reason the just man is called just is because he got up. Amen? And that's what we're talking about. Going down and getting back up. I'm telling you, the Christian life is full of going down and getting back up. And going down and getting back up. And going down and getting back up. And going down physically and getting back up after you get over it. And going down financially, and somehow, some way, you open the mailbox and God sends a letter in the mail and you get back up. And going down mentally, and God gives you 3 or 4 days of some kind of mental break where you feel like you're young again, and going down, and with stress and troubles and responsibility, and it seems like you're just going down and you're going down. But friends, Sunday morning comes and we start singing in the choir, and the preacher starts preaching, and your hand goes in the air, and friend, before you know it, you just remember that you've been saved by the good grace of God, and God's the best thing that's ever happened to you, and you get back up, and when you leave Sunday morning, you feel like you're walking on cloud nine. Amen. Getting back up. I'm telling you, Christian life is all about going down and getting up and going down and getting up. I've just decided if he wants me down, I'm going to crawl around down there. I'm going to talk to him while I'm down there. And if he lets me get back up, I'm going to praise him. Amen. Praise him. Come up and give God some glory. Sometimes you got to come up and get some air. Amen. And you go down again. And yet you can't stay down. God's got to give you some air. Amen. God's the God of the mountain. He's still the God of the valley. He's still the God of darkness. He's the God of light. I'm telling you, just when you get a chance to stand up tall, give Him some glory and praise His holy name, because He deserves glory. Cleansing is in the completion. Come up and give God glory. I don't know if Naaman, he wasn't an independent, fundamental, premonitional, Baptist, Bible-believing preacher, amen, or some Holy Ghost-filled soul winner, shouting, soul winner, and door knocker. He was from the Syrian army. He didn't know nothing about God. He didn't know nothing about the Bible, probably. He didn't know, he wasn't raised to church. He wasn't raised with the fundamentalism. He wasn't raised with a shout. He wasn't raised with shouting shoes. He probably didn't even own a tie. Hey, man, thank God. He didn't know how to play a guitar. I don't know what he knew. He didn't know much about God. Hey, but this day, when he went down, he was introduced to the one that will get you back up when you go down. And he came up a cleansed man. He came up a cleansed man. Cleansing was in his completion of going down. Verse 14, he went down and he was clean. He was clean because God declared him clean. He wasn't clean because of the Jordan River. There wasn't no chemicals in the muddy Jordan River that matched up with his leprosy, and they climatized together and had a big crash, and there was a big boom, and all some water churned, and it got hot, then it got cold. And it was God the whole time. It was God that did a supernatural work in his miracle. It was the miracle that came from God, and he gave God glory for it. He couldn't even pay God for it. Went back to the prophet, tried to pay him for that miracle. The prophet didn't even come out, amen. Old Gehazi, boy, he got jealous about that. He got his eyes on earthly treasures. He wanted that, and he ended up getting Naaman's leprosy. And then he went down. But the crazy thing about this, if you read on, next chapter, he's over there with Elijah. And Elisha's showing him all them Syrian armies over there. Elisha's showing the servant, I believe the same servant, that there's more that was with us than there are with him. Amen. I think about David's life. David's life was full of ups and downs. Think about it. About 10 years he ran from Saul trying to kill him, and David knowing that he was anointed king, knowing he had God's touch on his life, knowing he was already heir to the throne. He should have been sitting on the throne there. Saul was trying to kill him. There Saul was running down like an animal, trying to hunt him in the woods. He was going from one place, a hiding place, to another place, to one cave. I'm talking about David had a lot of ups and he had a lot of downs. Oh, but God was faithful all the journey, thank God, amen. And David didn't sin against Saul, because Saul was God's anointed, amen. He respected and honored him, even though he was doing David wrong. David didn't go down by himself, but David submitted to what God wanted him to do. Look in, I'm done. So look in Psalms, a couple encouraging verses. Psalms chapter 13. Psalms 13. David's life was full of ups and downs. One moment he's up, one moment he's down. Chapter 13, verse 1, he said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" You ever thought about that? You ever thought God forgot you? He said, "Do you forget me forever?" Question mark. "How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" He said, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" How long, God, how long, how long? We'll look down to verse number 5. He said, "But I have trusted in thee. I trust in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully." He said, God's been good to me. I may be down. He may seem like he's far from me, as the east is from the west. I may have enemies after my tail, but God has been good to me. He didn't let him keep him down. He didn't let the things that were causing him to go down keep him down. He kept looking to God. And that's exactly what will happen to you when you look to God. You look to God, God will pick you up. Look in chapter 17. We could go through the whole book of Psalms like this, and I'm not going to do it. But chapter 17, verse 9, watch this. "From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouths they speak proudly. Now look at verse 15. Verse 15, he says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." He said, "I know if they take me out of here, I'm going to get up and I'll be in the likeness of Jesus Christ. I'll be like him. Amen. I have nothing. Amen. I have nothing to worry. You can't threaten me with death. You can't threaten me with heaven." Chapter 18, verse number 4. It says, "The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." Well, verse number 6, though, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears." Yes, amen. Thank God for that. Would to God that you and I would be like that. When we go down, we'd get back up. Things happen to us, we'd just go on and keep going on and keep going on and keep going on for God. Amen. We've got the Bible, 66 books of the Bible, song books full of inspired songs, and God's still inspiring people writing songs every day. Poems that people have written, letters that they've written, books. I'm talking about books on top of books of encouraging, fight on stories on top of books. And still, we get down and molly grub and stay down. We have every right. We've read every book. We've heard every story. We've witnessed every miracle. We ought to be on cloud nine on a daily basis. Amen. But if we're not, and you're not going to be all the time, when God allows you to go down, just go down and get back up. Go down and get back up. Keep getting up. You say, "Why do I need to get up?" To bring God glory. Bring God glory. Amen. Bring God glory. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the blessing that you give to us. God, the strength that you give to let us keep going for you. God, for letting us get back up. God, and if you ask